This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, sevillepodcast.com.
Well, it is a true honor and a great thrill to welcome to the little show here on the long line, Congressman Tom Davis of Northern Virginia. Good afternoon, sir.
Coy, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Oh, it's my honor, believe me. Now, let's tell folks that you are headed down as we speak. I believe you're headed to Central Virginia.
I am. I've just been in Madison County. I'm heading down to Charlottesville, and then I'm going to meet with a group of Republicans down there.
Fantastic. Now, you are spending a great part of this month here traveling throughout the Commonwealth, meeting new friends, saying hello to old friends. Tell us what this tour is all about.
Well, I don't know. Senator Warner is going to announce next month what he's going to do. And if he does not run for re-election, one thing he's urged me is to get around the state, be ready, be prepared. And so I'm getting around the state. I'm talking to Republicans of all different stripes, from all different corners of the state about what a Senate candidacy would look like.
And is there a date that has Senator Warner set a specific date in September?
He said the fall, September. He's Senator Warner. He can do whatever he basically wants to do on that. And more power to him.
Could you talk for a little bit about his service to the country and a little bit about he is perhaps one of the most popular senators in Washington on both sides of the aisle, and a little bit about his tenure in Washington?
Well, he's certainly a historical figure. He's been in the Senate 30 years. I think that's the second longest serving senator in Virginia history. He's had a splendid record as chairman of the Armed Services Committee. He's been a ranking member on transportation. He's meant a lot to the state, but he's been in the middle of a lot of battles and really was a transitional figure in moving this state from a one-party Democratic state into a competitive two-party state.
I remember when he was Secretary of the Navy, is that right?
He was Secretary of the Navy, and he spent a lot of his time on military issues. It's meant a lot to have him there as chairman of Armed Services, protecting our bases. He has a global view of how the Navy ought to operate, and now all of Armed Services. He's, in fact, over in Iraq as we speak, or heading over there to take another look at a very, very complex situation.
Well, he has certainly served the Commonwealth quite well for a long time. I interviewed him one time, and I remember him telling me that he was up on the Hill one day as Secretary of the Navy meeting with Senator Thurman. And he said the senator sort of grabbed my arm, as Senator Thurman was wont to do with anyone, and sort of grabbed his elbow and started squeezing it and said, you know, you ought to run for the Senate. We really need you up here on the Hill.
Well, I told him the same thing. You ought to run for re-election this time. But if he doesn't, we need to be prepared. I don't think, from our perspective, I think we need somebody in that mold, in his mold, to hold the seat.
Right, right.
I was his campaign chairman. So we've been very close through the years.
My guest is Congressman Tom Davis of Northern Virginia, and he will be in Charlottesville tonight and is traveling the Commonwealth here in the month of August. I guess what the two biggest signs, perhaps, that he is going to announce his retirement, the fact that he hasn't raised a lot of money, and the big, even bigger sign that folks, regulars in Washington would certainly see as a sign, is the fact that his longtime chief of staff, a wonderful woman, Susan McGill, has retired and has moved on into private life, is working elsewhere. That's usually a sign that your boss is going to be stepping down.
Well, it's a sign that he wasn't, I think. First of all, she had a great job offer from the Pew Research Center. Secondly, he was not ready to make a decision and give any kind of commitments. And his integrity is such that he will not take money from people for a race he's not going to run. So I think in some ways at his age, he's just decided to put off the decision until the last possible minute. And that's where we are. I think he feels he needs to make a decision.
Right, right. My guest is Congressman Tom Davis. Now, in a few weeks now, when Senator Warner makes this announcement, yay or nay, whether or not he's going to seek re-election, if he decides that it's not that he has had enough and he would like to move on to new challenges and figure out how he can help his country in other ways, how soon might we expect an announcement from your camp as far as your candidacy is concerned?
Well, we're not on a particular time schedule. I can continue to raise money as a member of the House, and that money would be transferred to a Senate account and get around the state. I mean, one of the things you worry about as a Republican in Virginia is it's such a fractured party. I'm from Northern Virginia, which has been a little bit at odds with the rest of the state in terms of how we've handled issues. So I'm getting around the state and see how comfortable people are with the mix. The other problem, of course, for the party is that the Republicans have fared miserably in Northern Virginia. George Allen lost Nova by 120,000 votes and the state by 9,000. Had he done just a little better, been a little more competitive, not only would he be a senator today, he might be the next president. So that we have a problem up there. I've won 11 elections there. And we're talking about my electability and compatibility with the party on the issues that are of concern around the state.
Congressman Tom Davis is my guest, and the phone lines are open, folks, if you have a question for the congressman at 977-1070. Robert Novak authored a column in the Sun-Times a couple days ago, or yesterday, actually, the Sunday issue, and he said that gloomy top Republicans in Virginia are privately predicting that a man named Warner will be elected to the Senate from their state next year, but add that he is likely to be a Democrat. What do you think the chances are that former Governor Mark Warner is actually going to seek this office should Senator John Warner, decide not to run again?
Well, you have to ask Mark Warner that question. I know he's made conflicting comments about the governor's the best job he's ever had. What he's got to factor in is, does he want to go and be the junior senator from Virginia under Jim Webb? Does he want to take himself basically out of consideration for vice president? He's a very attractive candidate because he's a cash cow. He can write a check in the first presidential election where they won't take matching money in the general election. As you know, under the landmark case of Buckley versus Valeo, candidates can give unlimited amounts to their own candidacies. Everyone else is limited. Versus, going to the Senate or a chance to come back for the governorship, maybe have some money in the bank this time and able to innovate, which he wasn't able his first term. But he's going to have to make that decision. What I hear around the state are a lot of the state Democrats want him to run for governor because they'd like to control the state, the House, the Senate, and the governorship. But in Washington, they want the strongest candidate because they want control of the Senate. They want to keep Ted Kennedy in as a committee chairman and other Democrats around. So I think he's getting cross-pressured. What I hear, he probably leans toward a Senate race at this point, but I don't think that's any reason to back down in a race. You can't make your decision based on who else gets in there.
You've referenced the fractured Republican Party in Virginia. What is it if we could possibly see a more far right-wing conservative run against you in a primary? What is it you think that far right-wing base needs to hear from you so that they would want to support you and they wouldn't even mess with a primary challenger?
Well, I think I can beat anybody for the nomination. We'll have a strong base in the urban areas of the state. My record is what it is. I'm not going to, you don't back off your record. I've been in office 28 years, 15 years on the county board in Fairfax, three of them as chairman, where we were selected best financially managed county in the country. 13 years in Congress, 4 years as a committee chairman, 4 years into the elected leadership of the House. So I have a strong record. It's not going to please everybody. But I am who I am. But we've been able to win elections in some of the toughest parts of the state. And you can argue whether Virginia is red or blue or purple, but once you get outside of Northern Virginia, it's certainly red, Charlottesville being a notable exception. We're going to be very competitive in Northern Virginia against Mark Warner, and we'll beat anybody else up there. So if you don't come, if you're a Democrat and you don't come out of Nova with a big lead, do you make it up in this environment and the rest of the state in a presidential year? And there are so many variables that attach to that. Who's going to be on the Democratic ticket? Does he have to run with Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama or Edwards, or who do I run with? You can't foretell those things a year out. You just get in there and you see what happens and you offer yourself up.
Congressman Tom Davis of Northern Virginia is my guest, and we're honored to welcome him to the program today. Let me ask you if we could turn our eye to some of the work that you've been doing in Washington. You are the ranking member of the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, and I know that you've been working quite a lot lately to look into the let's just call it the bungled investigation by the Department of Defense regarding the killing of Pat Tillman, that possibly even the murder of Pat Tillman. The AP reported recently that Tillman had gunshot wounds to his head that looked like they were at close range. And it seems every week we get a different story about what happened to this hero of ours.
Well, there's no question that the whole investigation and disclosure was bungled. There was no closure with the family. And I think between Henry Waxman, our ranking Democrat, and myself, we're going to make sure that we get to the bottom of this, try to do this thing right. And we've subpoenaed a number of documents from the Defense Department and the White House. We've had leading generals and former Secretary Rumsfeld up before us. Still a long ways to go on this investigation, but I think that this was a story of someone who gave up a very promising NFL career, who's all pro with the Arizona Cardinals, to join in the forces, to join the Army as an enlisted man. And he gets killed by his own troops in a friendly fire incident. And then it's announced differently, and the Army lets this fester for a month. And look, I think we need closure on this. So we're going to find out what happened. At this point, you've had one general, a three-star general, be demoted to a two-star. You've had some other disciplinary issues, but this thing was badly bungled, and we're going to get to the bottom of it.
My guest is Congressman Tom Davis. You also chaired the House Select Committee on Hurricane Katrina, really trying to take a very critical eye at what FEMA did and did not do. And what's the status now? This has sort of moved off of the front page, and yet I'm sure there's still a lot of important work going on to make sure that this new FEMA is going to be in much better shape and much better able to respond should something like this inevitably happen again.
Well, that's a great question. First of all, the report, as you know, was very critical of the White House. In fact, someone asked me, they said, Tom, you're a good Republican. This report just lays the White House out straight. All the bungling they did on this, are they mad at you at the White House? And I said, well, they were mad for a while, but I said a few months ago, Dick Cheney called me up and invited me to go hunting with him, so I think we're all patched up. The reality here is that big government is dysfunctional in a number of ways, and Katrina spelled that out. We've asked tough questions. Are we ready for the next hurricane season? Are we getting the appropriate coordination, local, state? Do we have all of the assets of government ready to respond quickly? And I think we've learned some things from Katrina, but we're still a long ways from where I'd like to see the government be on this.
You've also done a lot of work for our veterans, and if I could ask you, I know that Senator Webb has legislation, that he's got a couple of pieces of legislation, actually, and I just wanted to get your response to them. I know he has one, and I can't remember the name of it, but it's to increase the opportunities for our veterans returning from Iraq and Afghanistan to get a college education. I believe it's an amendment to a new GI Bill. He also has legislation that would create a nonpartisan commission to look into war contracting and sort of follow the money of how money is being spent on private contractors in the war on terror.
Yeah. Well, on the first one, I support him. First of all, we still have a volunteer army. We're going to have to, handle this in a more competitive fashion in terms of pay and benefits. And I would join him in making sure that the veterans returning and new people signing up get the kind of, it wouldn't quite be the GI Bill, but are able to go on with their lives, particularly wounded veterans, being sure they get educational opportunities so that they can move ahead in life when they return. I think we owe them that. On this, the second part, an independent commission to look at the war profiteering and contracting, to me, that's basically contracting out Congress's own responsibility to investigate contracting out. It's a redundancy. There is no reason why Congress can't do this on its own. After World War One, we had a commission, the old Nye Commission, but that was a Senate commission that investigated war profiteering. Truman did the same thing during World War Two. We should be doing this in-house. We shouldn't be having to outsource this.
Congressman Tom Davis is my guest. Let me ask you this.
Held... When I was chairman, four hearings on contracting out in Iraq, and I will just say contracting in a war zone is never efficient. There are a lot of reasons for it, but the key is you have to make sure you accomplish your mission. You worry about the paperwork later. That's the reality of a war zone. There is nothing wrong with looking at this, taking a hard look at this, wondering why we have so many contractors. I can tell you, though, we've done hearings in our committee on this. One of the problems is most federal employees don't want to go over to Iraq. So it's easier to just outsource this and hire somebody else to do the work that is a governmental responsibility, but you can't find people in-house to do. But look, I agree with Senator Webb. We ought to be looking hard at this. I don't think you need an independent commission. Congress should be doing this on our own. We have the subpoena power, We have the ability and expertise to get this thing done and to act on it quickly.
Congressman Tom Davis is my guest. What do you think it is that most Virginians don't perhaps understand or know about how politics and government really functions, that what you do day to day, and you do it on the weekends. This is nothing. You have a job. You don't leave at work. Tell me, what is it you think most people don't get about what you do?
Well, I mean, it's a 24/7 job. You're always on call. Your weekends and your weeknights, which a lot of people have free, are never free for us because there is one group or a group of people or interest group who wants a piece of you and wants you to come out and talk to them and hear their concerns. So it's a 24/7 commitment. It is a commitment to public service. It's not a commitment to a particular ideology. So that when we go out, we try to hear, most of us, all sides of the issue. We try to synthesize those and make intelligent decisions as a result of that. Democracy is a very, very inefficient machine. So we spend a lot of our time spinning wheels. We spend a lot of our time arguing with each other, a lot of redundancies to it, and it takes a lot of patience to stay with it in public office. And everything you do is subject to scrutiny. You know, having said that, you have a tremendous opportunity to do good and to make a difference. And I think that's why most of the members stick with it, is the opportunity to make a difference to your communities and to your countries, and we can have honest disagreements. I'd also add that in the Congress, on a member-to-member level, relations are pretty good. Where it breaks down is leadership to leadership. Once one party is in and the other party's out, they too often coalesce and decide how do we stay in power rather than how can we work with the other guys to make this a better country. And that is the big flaw in the whole thing, is it becomes about getting into power and staying into power and not working together. And it has gone on that way for probably, well, certainly the last generation. And that's where we lose sight of getting things done. The public understandably gets frustrated with this, but they don't know who to blame because both parties are really to blame.
Tom Davis serves in the U.S. House of Representatives, representing part of Northern Virginia. Thank you so much, Congressman. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Corey. Hope to see you again.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at cvillepodcast.com. Congressman Davis is touring the Commonwealth throughout the month of August, saying hello to old friends and meeting some new friends in anticipation of Senator John Warner's announcement in September about whether or not he is going to run for office again.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.